I say that because I see all of these prognosticators, and I don't have anything against the prognosticators at all. In fact, I think in many cases what they predict is quite highly accurate. But fundamentally, though, we in the IT security community, I'm not saying the IT community at large. In fact, I would argue that the IT community at large is very ignorant about how to mitigate a majority of security threats. And that's why it's so important that your business actually have a relationship with a consultant that focuses in the security space. There are maybe one out of every 400 to 500 IT people actually know what they're doing with security. So that's not a high, it's not a high statistic. And in fact, I just read something today about out of the DICE magazine where they were talking about the abysmal ability to find qualified staff in infrastructure and systems management. And the guy who was writing this article was talking about how all of these computer science schools are almost exclusively focusing their curricula on software development and programming. And, I had this revelation back, oh, good grief, it was like 2013, 2014, that time frame. I sat down with my niece and looked at a whole bunch of CS programs. I think we evaluated almost 20 schools. And going through the curricula that they had at all of these various schools for computer science, less than 2% of the curricula was on security or infrastructure. So no wonder we keep seeing endless quantities of software bugs out there because the people who are writing the software are absolutely clueless about infrastructure. And in many cases, they're clueless about networking and security. And that's why I just rail on so much about just horrific software packages that are endlessly just ubiquitous everywhere in the marketplace that we have to deal with. Is because so many of these applications are written by people that don't even understand what IP networking standards are. And so if they don't understand that, then they end up writing applications that don't abide by any of those standards. And if they don't abide by those standards, well, then how can you possibly secure them? In the IT security community, there is a technique called enveloping. You envelop that application or that system in network layer rules. A great example of this is a CT scanner, or some other piece of medical imaging equipment, a heart scanning machine. And you can really take that paradigm and apply it to so many things. But the idea is that this piece of medical imaging equipment is inherently insecure. I mean, you just know it is. And so much of that is due to the FDA process. So the FDA process basically tells the software manufacturer that once they go through the whole certification process for that application, well, then, things can't change. So now you can't patch it, you can't install BIOS updates on the hardware. I mean, you basically cannot protect that system at the system level itself. So you have to envelop it in a layer of protection. The only way to do that is through really sophisticated high-end IT networking security skills. And that stuff is not being taught. So I just found it rather ironic that this guy was talking about this article. He was talking about this problem on DICE, many years after I had come to this conclusion myself that that's why we have such a dearth of skilled individuals out there. And it's, I think, very difficult even to train people and to, build them up because they lack the foundational knowledge because they went and got their 4-year or 2-year technical degree and they have almost no baseline knowledge So they want to get a job where they're getting paid $50,000 a year, but they're not worth 15 cents because they can't actually produce anything, because they can't do anything, right? So who wants to hire them for that? And then they get all frustrated as to why it is that people don't want to hire them for that. It's a bad situation. I really, if anybody's out there looking for jobs, I would strongly recommend approaching an IT services company and telling them that you want to apprentice and offering to work for minimum wage, because you got to realize that's all you're worth. Until you can actually do the work yourself and do it accurately and technically adept and adhere to all the security standards and protocols and best practices, you're not worth much more than minimum wage, if that. And that's just what it is. All right, so I thought that was really interesting. And so Trend Micro came out with their security predictions for 2018, some little tidbits from that. I'm not going to go through the whole thing here. I'll put the link up with this podcast and the article for the podcast, and you can certainly check out the whole thing yourself. It's not what I would call technically dense. It's really meant to be a very nice consumable report. So if you're looking for an executive summary, absolutely go download this report. One of the big things that they talk on is business email compromise scams are exceeding $9 billion. 9 billion, not a million, but 9 billion. And they're doing that projection based upon the increase rate from 2015 to 2016 to 2017, right? So they're just basically doing this projection and saying, oh, well, business email compromise scams are now going to cause US companies to lose $9 billion in 2018. And that is definitely into the holy cats category. And you know, the thing is you actually can stop that. And I've got a client out on the West Coast who almost got totally shafted by some BEC incidences. And it was primarily because they just refused to implement multi-factor authentication. Because, boy, that was just, it was just too much. It was just too inconvenient for the users, especially executive management. Well, I got to tell you that it's not too inconvenient for executive management when executive management's Office 365 accounts have become compromised. That's the biggest inconvenience you're ever going to experience with regards to your computer is that you no longer have control over it or the information on it. And the bad guys now have control over that. So that little inconvenience that you did actually have control over, which is, oh gee, once every 14 days you have to re-verify your identity on the device, ooh, whoopee-doo, that is, believe me, infinitely less inconvenient than being the subject of a compromise. So by all means, enable multi-factor authentication. But beyond that, you absolutely need to have a high-end security product that plugs directly into the cloud layer, such as Trend Micro's Cloud App Security. And you may say, oh, well, I have, you know, Microsoft's Advanced Threat Protection. I'd say, well, hey, you know, give yourself a little mini clap. That's good for you. The reality is, though, when you look at those two products side by side, the Trend Micro Cloud App Security, hands down, is a better product. And you know what? They cost the exact same dollar amount, at least in terms of the product. I can tell you from raw experience that the management, so the labor side of Trend Micro Cloud App Security, is significantly less than Microsoft's Advanced Threat Protection product. So there you have it. And that product, the Trend Micro Cloud App Security, is extremely effective at dealing with business email compromise schemes. And for those of you that actually have your own on-premise Exchange server still, the business email compromise protection exists inside of Trend Micro's hosted email security product, which is also top-rated internationally. So they're also talking about in the 2018 security predictions report how cyber propaganda campaigns will be reutilized with a kind of updated messaging for new spam campaigns. So again, this comes down to doing a lot of security at the email level. And boy, I mean, there's 17,000 new viruses every hour. So can you just imagine how many new different types of business email compromise, scam, spam, horror things like that are being generated on an international basis, on an hourly basis? It's mind-boggling. So unless you are a subscriber and user of these advanced security products, I don't know how you're surviving on a daily basis, frankly. I mean, I would just be too petrified to connect my computer to the internet. So think about that. By the way, Cloud App Security is a whole whopping $4 per month, so I'm pretty sure you can afford that. Okay. Going on with in their report, something really frightening they predicted, which is, the European Union put out their GDPR regulations, which is basically privacy for data. And they put out these GDPR regulations, and this has been out for a while, and companies are supposed to be fully compliant by May 2018. However, when there was a survey done of C-level executives, 57% of those businesses said that they have no intention of actually expending business assets, so business capital, on becoming compliant with GDPR until there is a high-profile lawsuit. Now, this should freak you out. I can't tell you how many times on this show I've talked about the companies and organizations that I know of specifically firsthand that absolutely refuse to do even basic due diligence, basic level of effort in order to protect the data that they have, whether we're talking about their employee data, their employee personally identifiable information, or customer personally identifiable information. They just don't care about protecting that information. And let's not forget the whole issue with all of the point of sale printers that were directly connected to the internet and then were compromised as a result of it. So this is basically telling you that merchants don't care about being PCI compliant. I mean, how many times has the point of sale systems at Home Depot and TJ Maxx been compromised? Tons. And again, why? Well, because they didn't really care to be PCI compliant. So the reason that I think this is significant is because you need to have this realistic expectation in your mind that the vast majority of these organizations don't care about protecting your information. Oh my gosh, my head just exploded. And let's not forget Equifax. Okay. So here's Equifax with almost virtually unlimited capital assets to be able to solve the data security problem to prevent their systems from being compromised and thereby your personally identifiable information leaked and compromised. But yet, they clearly didn't care enough to take care of business because they clearly didn't care enough in order to even just simply make sure that their systems were all fully patched all the time. That is beyond all levels of just gross negligence. I mean, that's not accidental. That is gross negligence. Somebody needs to be held very significantly accountable to that. And I would argue executive management is responsible for that. So this is why I don't advocate that you do business with a ton of different companies and, don't spread your information out around there. Your email address will get stolen and all of your information will get stolen. It's just inevitable. And then what? How do you put the genie back in the bottle? So your best approach is just minimize the attack surface. And I'm a big advocate of deal with your local vendors that you trust. And in many cases, go shop with cash, right? If you go to the store and you buy things with cash, Gee, there was no personally identifiable information associated in that transaction, and therefore nothing for them to steal or lose. All right, so the rest of their report's very interesting. One final tidbit on it is that they're prognosticating again that tons of systems will get compromised because of unpatched vulnerabilities. Yes, which leads us into topic number two for today, which is on January 4th, the big deal of Meltdown and Spectre security vulnerabilities came out. And this is really a CPU vulnerabilities, kind of the way to think about it is it's kind of like the code for the operating system to interact with the CPU inside the computer. And inside of Windows, it's called the kernel. It's called the Windows kernel. And interestingly enough, I've been seeing machines blue screening randomly for probably the last 3 months. And I think that due to the advanced reporting and diagnostics platform that Microsoft has, I think they became aware of the scope of this problem and put the appropriate resources in place. And then they've figured out that these blue screens are happening. And then, as part of looking into that, they ended up finding a couple of security vulnerabilities. One's called Meltdown, and the other one is called Spectre. Fundamentally, these are pretty high-end, heavy-duty security patches that need to be installed to secure against those vulnerabilities. Now, the interesting piece to this is you might be saying, "Oh, that's fine. I have Windows Update configured, and it's going to, automatically download and install those patches." So great, thumbs up for you. However, this one is a different ballgame, and the reason it's a different ballgame is because of the way that different endpoint security products, some of you may think about those things as antivirus products, but we've had this discussion before about how antivirus is really only about 15% of what you really need today. Therefore, I don't use the term antivirus. I only use endpoint security products because endpoint security products give you a much more comprehensive set of features that you need on the endpoint in order to protect it. So these endpoint security products, most of the good ones, which is not most of them in the market, by the way, there's really only two decent products on the market, in terms of, I should say two decent manufacturers on the market, and most everything else is considered to be junk in one flavor or another. Some of it's just outright raging levels of junk. And some of it is just simply junk when it's not correctly managed. So, anyway, so the issue comes down to how these security products interact with this patch. So if the security product was not fully updated, meaning that if it was not having the knowledge of these new patches that are coming out, and then the patch got downloaded and installed on your computer, then the computer would blow up. Not good. So, what Microsoft has done has been forward communication of this to all of the endpoint security product manufacturers out there and told them that they need to get on the bandwagon very quick and get patches for their own products released and deployed and then communicate out to their user base. And so I received communication from Trend Micro on Wednesday, or I'm sorry, on Thursday, January 4th. And they were very clear about, what was preliminary information and that they're going to be releasing additional information. But Trend Micro had already fully deployed and tested patches for their certain products, their most popularly utilized products. And then, of course, there was the whole element of what do you need to do? So remember, I said there was this whole piece where this stuff was not automatic. There is a level of manual intervention that is going to be required. There's effectively a safeguard feature that's in place that if you don't do any manual intervention on your computer, then these critical security patches will never install. And I mean that, they will never install because there is a safeguard feature in there that prevents those patches from installing in the circumstance that they're not there. It could be a situation where you've got a incompatible endpoint security product on that computer, and Microsoft doesn't want your operating system to blow up if it's incompatible. All right. So that means you've got to do something manual intervention about this. Now, for all of the clients that we take care of who pay us for patch management services, they were already all deployed and all of their systems were all taken care of same day, literally same day within 6 hours. And then, but for all of you that, don't subscribe to those services, you have to take action manually. And I will post some links for you to review there. But this is one of the reasons why it's so super important to actually have that relationship with that consultant who genuinely is committed to being on, the cutting edge of those security things that impact you, and that they're then taking that leadership role in providing either taking care of it on your behalf, taking care of it for you, or communicating it out to you. And that's what we did is we sent out an email to all of our clients and contacts and let them know about the situation and literally categorized out, for those of you that subscribe to patch management services, hey, you don't have to do anything. Everybody else, this is what you need to do. Now, the other big relevant piece to this is what endpoint security product? Now, probably since 2011, it was. Yeah, in 2011, I got away from the entire paradigm of having any sort of an on-premise component to your security agent software. So the old paradigm was that there would be a server component that basically functioned as the management server and the update server and the distribution server, right? So, he was the brains for all of your endpoint security products, all those various agents. So, if you had 200 computers, then you'd have one management server and 200 agents. The problem with that is that your IT people have to actually get around to patching that. And I can tell you, there are very few that are on top of that. I mean, they're busy enough trying to deal with daily support tickets. If you have an on-premise infrastructure, it is pretty much a full-time job for one person to babysit that. I am not exaggerating. I mean, for those of you that think IT is this easy stuff and whatever, I mean, IT is easy if you do nothing. Right? I mean, there are completely lazy, incompetent people out there that do nothing. But for the IT people out there that actually want to be proactive and to stay on top of the patches and to be doing the maintenance that they need to be doing and monitoring backups, these sorts of things, checking settings, looking at security status, running the occasional audit, that is an overwhelming, endless full-time job. It's unceasing. And there's always something more that needs to be fixed. There's always something more that needs to be patched and updated and babysat, and it's a full-time job. And it requires a level of eternal vigilance and stamina, tremendous amounts of stamina. So the last thing that those people need is another on-premise server component. Now, in many situations, what I've found is you'll have like the part-time IT manager guy, and he's really like the operations manager or something like that. He's not really the IT guy, but he's been designated the IT guy. And so there's this on-premise server component, and he doesn't know anything about patching servers. I mean, he's probably never run Lifecycle Controller on a Dell server. Certainly does not have the vigilance or the technical knowledge. I mean, that's just not his priority. The guy's like the operations manager, right? He's got some other business function other than IT. So is maintenance of IT systems his priority? No. Believe me, something else in the business is always going to be taking a higher priority. So what you end up with is components of an on-premise infrastructure that are just horrifically out of date. And oftentimes they're just broken. I mean, like outright, totally, completely broken. And again, because he's not looking at it, that person who's the part-time, IT manager, they don't have time to look at that. So they're not looking at it. And then servers run out of space. Things get missed. Things are broken. I can't tell you how many environments I've walked into. And I see an inordinate amount of things that are just broken that nobody even knew was broken. And that's simply because I think a combination of two factors. Number one, whoever's job it was, well, they weren't looking because it wasn't their priority. And to some degree, a second factor is maybe they didn't really know what to look for because, again, IT is not really their job. Some other business function is their primary job. So the world that we live in today is just too darn complicated for this part-timer stuff. At the same time, I am not an advocate for full-fledged outsourced managed services. And if you need any recap on that, I think one of the best things to do is go back and listen to the last show where I talked about the fictitious 10-point questions that you should be, asking of your IT services company, and I just completely blew the lid off of the baloney pile that is associated with full outsourced managed services and how it actually dramatically increases your security risk profile, and that you would never otherwise know because they're not going to expose and disclose that to you. In many cases, I think there's a lot of underhanded, unethical behavior going on in the IT industry, and that's one of the big reasons that I talk about things on this show. All right, well, one brief little last topic is Integra Optics sent out this email, was talking about how, oh, well, you should buy all of our fiber optic transceivers instead of spending money on these OEM transceivers. And literally, I get this email, and it was sent to me by several people. And I'm like, you all are getting scammed because the reality is, if you do not use the original equipment manufacturer fiber optic transceivers with your switching equipment or your network equipment in general, anytime you go and call support or contact support at all, or you're looking for diagnostics or configuration or troubleshooting help, whatever it is, you're trying to get help from the manufacturer on that equipment, then they will generally just look at that stuff and say, well, that's not our stuff. We don't know. We don't know. So that could that be the problem? I don't know. So the point is if you think you're actually saving money by buying non-OEM transceivers, you don't, because whatever money you are saving on the front end in terms of hardware cost, you're going to eat it over and over and over and over and over again in labor and business outage costs. So don't try and play that game. It's unsupported. It's bad. Well, that's it for today's show. Hope you enjoyed it.
You've been listening to Breakfast Bites, a program designed to help you navigate computer technology and the internet. The show airs the first and third Saturdays of every month and is hosted by Felicia King. To contact Felicia, visit her website, qualityplusconsulting.com.
Support comes from Jack Andreas. Enjoy up to 75% off select merchandise and floor fixtures while we ready ourselves for our 2018 reimagining remodel. We'll be temporarily closed starting Sunday, January 28th. Visit jackandrea.com for details and schedule pop-up shops around town.
From the WGTD Arts and Other Events calendar, Kenosha County's annual ice fishing derby will take place January 21st from 7 to 11 at Katy Park in Twin Lakes. There's a $2 entry fee for everyone who participates. For more information about the event, please dial 262-857-1850.
Support for WGTD comes from Kenosha Winter Harbor Market, featuring Nature's Colors, the natural dry goods vendor with a variety of herbs, spices, and teas